any kind of trail mix with the chocolates in it, not the trail mix without the chocolates, you know, anything good that's kind of like a treat, that's a special thing for them when we're going out hiking.
I'm going to take it a step further and say, yes. Just go, if you have to go straight up M&Ms,
yes.
I think that's fine. I don't judge you. I literally feel like I left M&Ms along the trail for Wes when he was little, just to keep him moving.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we're excited to have on the show for the very first time, Erin Gifford. She's a friend of mine that I met in person a few years ago at an RV show, and she's also the author of a brand new book called Hiking with Kids Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Families, and it's one of the terrific books in the series of Valken Guides, which are actually our go-to guides when we buy hiking books. So when I found out she was publishing this book with Valken Guides and she was doing a book about hiking with kids in Virginia, I knew I wanted to have her on the show. So we're going to talk a little bit about her book, but we're going to have a more broad-minded conversation. So it doesn't matter where you live, it's going to be interesting for you. We're going to talk about 12 tips to make hiking with kids fun, and according to Erin, not miserable. And Erin is a super experienced hiker, and she wrote the book on it, frankly. So these are 12 great tips. If you're planning on doing any hiking with your kids this summer, you are going to want to listen to this podcast. But before we dive in and have this really fun conversation with Erin, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Whether you enjoy the comfort of a luxury cabin, a deluxe RV site, or prefer to try some unique options like yurts, treehouses, or covered wagons, award-winning Jellystone Parks has a variety of first-rate accommodations, attractions, and activities to provide the setting for an affordable and fun family vacation. Our family has been making great camping memories at Jellystone Park for years, and we can't wait to get back and see Yogi Bear and friends this spring and summer. Jellystone Park locations have everything you and your family will need to make long-lasting camping memories. From amazing water zones, including pools, splash grounds, and splash pads, to mini golf, wagon rides, and jumping pillows, Jellystone Park is the best place for family entertainment this year. You will also find many themed weekend events, including appearances from Yogi Bear and friends. You will notice that family fun at our exciting camp resorts is the main attraction. With over 75 locations across the United States and Canada, make Jellystone Park part of your vacation this spring and summer. Remember, it's not just a campground, it's Jellystone Park. To find out more and book your spring and summer getaways, head on over to jellystonepark.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the RV Atlas. I am really excited to have Erin Gifford on the show for the first time today to talk about her brand new book, Hiking with Kids Virginia, and for her to give us 12 tips to make hiking with kids fun, and according to her notes, not miserable, because hiking can be transcendently wonderful or it can be exquisitely painful, depending on the approach. So welcome to the show, Erin.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to come on and talk about hiking and getting families outside and just kind of all the different hikes that I've gone on over the last 2 years and putting this book together.
So tell us a little bit more about the book. Like at the time of this recording, the book will be out. So who's the publisher? Where can we get the book? Anything else you want to add about this beautiful new book?
Yeah, sure. Of course. So yeah, it comes out very soon. And as you said, by the time this airs. It's out with Valken Guides, which, as you may know, they publish a lot of different go-to books on hiking and biking and camping and all types of outdoor activities. So it'll be available in kind of the usual locations, Amazon, Target, Walmart. So I'm pretty excited to see it out there and, you know, getting in the hands of moms and dads that want to get their kids out on the hiking trails.
Now, we've met once in person, so the next time we meet in person, I do want my copy signed, please.
And of course.
I said before we went on air that Falcon Guides have been our go-to for buying hiking guides. Like, no matter where we're going, I do look to the Falcon Guides first, and I think it's partly because they're just really beautifully designed. Can you just give us a sense of the paper and the interior design of a Falcon Guide?
Yeah, that's so good to hear. I absolutely agree. When I was putting this book together, they were pretty much my first choice in wanting to publish a book about hikes. And of course, the paper quality is very good. They've got great maps in there, great photos. Every hike in this particular book, there's 52 hikes for families in Virginia. And every hike comes with, you know, two or three full color photos, a great color map, really easy to read. You know, mile points for directions to make it easy for moms and dads and kids to hike and not get lost and have enjoyable experiences. So I think it turned out really well. It was kind of exciting to get my copy in the mail. And, you know, after working on it for so long and, you know, going through the editing process and, you know, submitting all the photos and editing all the maps, it was so exciting to see it all come together and, you know, have it in my hand finally.
All right. Well, everybody's going to have to check out this book. But you're today, really, the topic of our conversation is applicable to anybody, no matter where they you know, live in the world. We're going to talk about 12 tips to make hiking fun with kids. Before you start giving us the tips, though, can you tell us just like, what is your family hiking unit? I mean, how many people do you hike with? How old are they?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think it's constantly changing. So my oldest child actually, so I have four kids. My oldest is a first year in college now. So she's not a part of the hiking mix at this time. She's actually across the country in Seattle. So when I do go hiking around here, a lot of times it will end up being maybe me plus one or me plus two. I've got four kids total. My youngest is 12. My oldest is 18. So, you know, kind of as they get older, it gets a little more challenging to, you know, get them out the door, get them outside, get them to go with you. So I actually do enjoy when it's just, you know, me plus one. It's some really good kind of, you know, mother-child bonding time. But there are definitely occasions where it's the whole family, you know, all six of us or all five of us when the oldest child is not here. So, you know, I kind of, you know, enjoy those times too.
So, I mean, I guess the hope is, though, that we instill a love of hiking in our kids, which obviously that's going to get complicated in like the middle school and high school years when there's other things they might want to do more than hiking, to be honest. But I think that, you know, my hope for my kids, and I think you'd probably agree, is that they come back to it, right? If they do get away from it, maybe during high school and college a little bit, that then they'll be hiking with us again after college at some point. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, I have the same hope. So yeah, I definitely find that, you know, we've gone on so many different hikes, not just in Virginia, but, you know, before the pandemic, we did a lot of road trips. We would go on 2 and 3 week road trips over the summer and always going to national parks, always going on at least one hike. So I like to think that, you know, they've held on to these memories and, you know, are remembering those trips to, you know, Crater Lake or the Grand Canyon. And, you know, even if hiking is not top of mind now, I like to think it is kind of instilled within in them and deep down, you know, eventually they'll want to make it, you know, part of a monthly routine or, you know, going out on hikes every quarter. So even if they don't want to go out as often as I want to go out now. So I think that they will continue to enjoy it.
And that's, you know, it's about taking the right approach. So let's dive into these 12 tips, because if they spend their childhood being miserable on hikes, they're not going to want to come back to it. You know, we want to instill joy in them with hiking. So let's dive into your 12 tips to make hiking with kids fun and not miserable. So what is your first tip?
So I feel like my first tip is, I don't know if it's wacky or not, but I mean, snacks. Snacks seems like a random first tip, but snacks, they will make or break my hike. If I have no snacks, I mean, I haven't gone more than 50 feet before my kids are wanting to turn around. Like, you need to bring good snacks, not just healthy snacks. I mean, healthy snacks are good. They're important. I get it. I'll bring those too, but you need to bring, you know, bring out the big guns, like bring out the, you know, fruit snacks. My kids love the fruit snacks, or any kind of trail mix with the chocolates in it, not the trail mix without the chocolates, you know, anything good that's kind of like a treat, that's a special thing for them when we're going out hiking.
I'm going to take it a step further and say, just go, if you have to go straight up M&Ms.
Yes.
I think that's fine. I don't judge you. I literally feel like I left M&Ms along the trail for Wes when he was little, just to keep him moving. I mean, there was no shame in our game when it came to rewarding our kids with snacks because they're burning off those calories as they go. So there's nothing wrong with bringing the chocolate.
Yes, I can appreciate that you saw right through me. That is true.
No, like you were like, yeah, well, healthy snacks, and I realized too that you were hedging a little bit there, but you've got a purse full of M&Ms just like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you bring the best snacks out because you want them. You want it to be a positive experience, and to be honest, I do feel like the good snacks and food contributes to that positive experience. And at the end of the day, I'm really just looking for, an overall enjoyable family experience and something that they want to do again. If it's not enjoyable, they'll never want to do it again. They'll never want to go with you outside anywhere. So that's kind of what I'm trying to avoid and why I'm saying bring snacks. You're going to regret it seriously if you don't bring really good snacks.
All right. I think we can just stop this podcast right there because that is the actual primary tip for hiking with kids. No, just kidding.
So I think it is actually.
Let's go to number two. And this is interesting because this is not something that we really did. So tell us about tip number two.
Well, I think that, number two is, let them bring a friend. I find that, sometimes it's hard to get my kids out of the house when it's, just me and them. They want to hang out with their buddy. They want a friend to come along. So, at least in the early days when you're trying to get them go out hiking, let them bring a pal with them. Not only will they be happier because their friend is in tow, there might be less complaining, there might be less grousing along the way, there might be less dragging their feet. I mean, I definitely have found that I've seen, I was seeing more smiles and more laughter and enjoyment when they're with their friends and out on the hiking trails. And I think at the end of the day, they're still kind of making that positive association with nature, even just by having their friend along. So I find it to be very, very helpful.
My kids always behave better when there's friends in our house, frankly.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
I think they are somewhat embarrassed to be whiny when their friends are around.
100%. I mean, they're not going to cry. They're not going to whine. They're just going to keep moving. They'll go jump in the streams, or they'll go do fun things with their friend. They'll go seek out hiking sticks with their friend. I'm like, that's great. I don't even care. I'm so happy that you're outside in nature that nothing else matters to me right now.
Agree. So tip number three for hiking with kids and having fun and not being miserable. What do you got?
Tip number three for me is just realize it's not a race. Just take it easy. Be chill. Just let your kids set the lead. Me, I'm tall. I've got long legs. I'm a fast walker. Even when I'm kind of hiking on my own, oftentimes I'm hiking quickly. I want to get to the summit. I want to check out the views. I want to see the waterfall. But when you're with your kids, you just need to slow it down. Just, similar to the last tip, just enjoy nature. Let them enjoy nature. If they're constantly having to run and keep up with you, that's not fun. They're not having fun. You're not creating a positive association with nature. You're making them think that, this is just something they need to rush through to get to the next thing. It's not something to savor in the moment. I feel like through our days, I'm sure you feel the same way too. Every weekday, especially, we're just rushing here and there, finishing tasks, turning assignments in, it's just chill, just relax for a few minutes, let your kids see that you can relax too, because, especially now that everyone has been working from home, I feel like my kids, and especially when this last year, when, lots of kids were doing school from home, they would see just how busy you were and how, you're just so frazzled or stressed on the computer. Just let them see you slow down.
I almost like the idea of a country ramble more than of a mountainous hike. And I'm with you. I like a leisurely pace on a hike, and I often take up the rear on a hike. Stephanie's dad is a speed demon on hikes, and he's a real hiker. He's done huge chunks of the Appalachian Trail. He's the real deal. But then when we would hike with him when we were younger, he'd get so far ahead of us because we were talking, having fun, and he'd have to then stop and wait for us to catch up and we'd feel a little bit rushed. So I'm with you. Enjoy a slower pace because everything in life is so fast paced.
Yeah, exactly. And I like to, you know, take the rear like you sometimes because I kind of just like to watch them. I like to watch, you know, how they're walking in the trail. I like to watch them stopping to pick up sticks or to look at flowers or to, you know, race up to a water crossing that they can jump across. I mean, that is the joy for me, is to be able to watch that. And a lot of times too, you know, I'll take pictures from behind just to, you know, watch them hiking and, you know, so I can kind of savor that for later.
That's kind of leads into tip four, which is stop every single time.
Yeah. I mean, just let them stop. Let them get muddy. Let them splash. Let them pick up a hiking stick. Even if they pick up 100 different potential hiking sticks for that walk, just let them do it. You know, I have to say, I mean, my kids, especially during the pandemic, I mean, I felt like they spent so much time on phones and iPads and that kind of thing that it's like, if I can get them outside and, you know, going on these hiking trails and getting dirty and looking at flowers, like I want to take as much time as I can. So if you want to stop 37 times, that's great. I love it.
I think it's easier. If you disagree, tell me. I think it's easier for the fastest person to slow down than for the slowest person to speed up, in terms of like, if you're going on a hike with a group as opposed to just going by yourself, I do feel like the fastest person needs to adjust. Would you agree?
I do. And that's kind of what I end up doing because I am the fastest person in my group. So which to be honest, I think is actually why my kids enjoy hiking more when my husband goes along, because he is slower. And so they know that he will naturally be at their pace. So they kind of tend to gravitate toward him. And so I end up, you know, having to slow down and remember that we're not in a rush. And, you know, because sometimes when my husband is along, it's usually when we're at a national park or we're on vacation somewhere. And, you know, I usually have a schedule, you know, so I'm like, oh, we need to finish this hike so then we can get to lunch at this place. And my husband he's much more relaxed and chill. And it's just, he's just going to take the hike as it goes. And we're just, you know, we're here to be out in nature and we don't need to rush it. So
I think tip number five, I personally think it's the most important tip for hiking with kids. So let's really flesh this one out. So 100%. What is tip number five?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing, which to be honest, like I didn't really think about it until I started writing this book and proposing this book, is to choose an engaging trail. And by, you know, engaging trail, I mean, trails that will interest your child. They've got waterfalls or they've got rock scrambles or they've got big views. I mean, if a trail is just 2 miles out and back, I mean, forest trees, those are nice. But if that's all you're seeing, your kids are not excited. They are not going to want to go out and do this again. You know, they need to, you know, find places along the trail that they're going to want to stop and hang out or splash or dig or
kick your shoes off, right?
Get
your
exactly.
feet wet, you know, have a snack by the side of the river or whatever it
yes.
is.
All
I mean,
those things.
We hiked last summer in Lake Placid. We talked about this on the podcast. Ooh. I took the family. It was hot. It was buggy. And it was just woods.
Oof,
and Stephanie and the boys were halfway decent sports about it. But by the end, they were like, come on, Dad. Like, there's so many things to do around Lake Placid. This is not the hike for a hot summer day, because it was just a trail in the woods with bugs. So waterfalls, rivers, even just little streams, rock scrambles, as you mentioned, those are the hikes that you want to look for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's just... yeah. Anything else? I mean, I've done those hikes too with my kids, and, you know, slowly I kind of learned these are not the hikes that they want to do. So we are not going to do these anymore.
All right. Tip number six, I like too, and I've never really thought of it exactly this way, but again, I would agree with you on six. What is tip number six?
So yeah, six is just kind of let them get dirty. Just if they get muddy or sticky or sweaty or wet, who cares? I mean, again, it kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier. Just let them enjoy nature and let them kind of enjoy nature in their own way and enjoy being outside in their own way. I mean, if you think back to when, you know, you and I were young, there were no electronics and devices. Like, this was our primary fun, was kind of going outside, getting sweaty, coming back at the end of the day dirty, and it was fine. You know, nowadays it's almost like a bad thing to go out and get dirty. Like, just go enjoy yourself. You know, if that makes you enjoy being outside, that is a huge win for me.
I would add too, like if you're doing that waterfall hike or you know that there's streams, when the boys were younger, we would definitely make sure there was a change of clothes in the car for the end of the hike. If not, some extra clothes in my backpack.
Yes.
Because if they want to get soaked, hallelujah, you know, get soaked. but then you could get a little bit uncomfortable if it's a longer hike or whatever.
Yeah, or at least a towel. You know, if you're not going to bring an extra change of clothes, just bring a towel so that, you know, they're comfortable in the car and, you know, not cold on the way home.
And then you can go. And a lot of times, like, we would hike and then go out to dinner somewhere on our drive back to the campground. So having a change of clothes is great, too. All right. We have six more tips with Aaron Gifford, who is the author of the new book, Hiking with Kids Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Families, published by Valken Guides. But before we get into the next six tips, we have a sponsored message from our friends at CampSpot. Let's face it, summers weren't meant to be experienced sitting at a desk or staring at a computer screen. It's time to call time out. CampSpot is here to help. CampSpot is an instant booking platform for camping across North America, featuring over 140,000 campsites. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more to find your time out. Whether it's your next epic adventure, girls' night out, or family reunion, CampSpot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. CampSpot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and no membership fees so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Picture it now. Fresh air in your lungs, cool breeze in your hair, warm hugs in your soul, and that grounded sense of self you'll only find when you spend time out. Book your spring and summer camping trips now. Find your time out. Find your CampSpot at campspot.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have six more great tips for hiking with kids from Aaron Gifford, and she is the author of a brand new book that is out right now, Hiking with Kids Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Families, published by Valken Guides, available just about anywhere you get your books. Welcome back to the show, Aaron. Let's do tip number seven.
Of course. Yeah, number seven is don't overestimate your kids and your family. You might see a great hike out there. Maybe you're doing your research. You see there's this amazing summit hike. It's 5 miles and straight up, and that would work for you, but just dial it back a notch. But, you know, for your family and for your kids, you want something that's engaging and that's interesting. But if it's really steep and it's really hard, or it's a really hot day and it's just a total slog to get through the hike, you know, I feel like I keep saying this, I'm a broken record, but they will never want to hang out with you again. They will never want to go outside in the future. So just don't overestimate. Don't think, oh, sure, they can do 5 or 10 miles. No problem. Just maybe start with, you know, a short hike, just a couple of miles. You still want something to be interesting. You still want there to be streams or, you know, sections of wooden boardwalk, like look for engaging features, but just kind of start with an easier hike, less elevation, less mileage. And if they're really successful at that hike, then, you know, maybe after a few more hikes, you know, kick it up a notch, make it a little bit more challenging, but, you know, make it easy from the get-go so that they will enjoy it.
We definitely built up endurance as a family to sort of the point where we could do the hike to Many Glacier in Glacier National Park, you know, 12 miles round trip, 8 hours. But we, you know, there was a lot of building up to that point. And I've always found that there's a magical place that I try to like to reach when hiking with kids. And I like to push us a little bit past our limits, but not too far past our limits. Because if you don't push past your limits a little bit, do you really know where your limits are, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like each time push a little bit more, but not too hard to that breaking point that you're talking about.
It is definitely a delicate balance because I do feel like, and I've been in this situation too, is if you've pushed it a little bit too far, you're like, ooh, this is a long way back to the car. And now everyone is tired and I push them too far and it's not going to end well. So you really need to know like where that, like maybe like where that turnaround point is, where that point is, where it's a challenge, but you know, I can tell it's something they can do.
I think that's a great tip too, is maybe know where you might bail out, right?
Yes,
like, okay, we're intending to hike 8 miles, but if we,
after five, we need to bail,
that's okay.
Yes. So it's kind of good to take like a temperature check of your family every once in a while, just which is another reason why it's good to kind of be in the back. It's kind of, you know, take a look at them. Are they hot? Are they sweaty? Are they tired? Do you think they can be revived if you just take a snack break? If you take a snack break and they're still kind of not feeling it, like, it's okay to turn around and just, you know, end the hike there. Like, end it while you still can end it on a positive note.
I think that then jumps into to your eighth tip. So what is tip number eight? I think that's very connected.
Yeah, it is. Eight is kind of lower your expectations, meaning kind of, you know, set the bar low. Meaning if you say, I just want to get through a mile. And you know, it's pretty easy to get through a mile. It's hard to be disappointed when you set the bar low. It's okay to set the bar low, especially for your first hike, because honestly, at the end of the day, you really just want to end the day feeling happy and satisfied and confident that your family got out there, that you had a great day together. You know, maybe save the 5 mile hike for next time. You don't need to, you know, have this really high bar that you're going to go do all these things. Just set it low and just, you know, to your point about how, you know, the next time push it a little further after that. Well, especially when you're first kind of getting out there with your kids, just, you know, make it easy, ease into it slowly so that you'll all be happy.
I'll do 3 mile hikes all summer long. We have never been afraid to do a nice, easy hike and then do something else that day. You know?
Yeah, I think, 3 miles is a great distance. That's just like the perfect distance.
And tip number nine, if you keep it mellow and lower your expectations, which is tip number eight, tip number nine, maybe you can get a reward when you're done, right?
Yes. Well, I feel like, I mean, rewards is like the most important thing. It's kind of like, you know, Pavlov's law. You want to, you know, if they see that after they go on a hike, they get a scoop of ice cream, they're going to want to go on a hike all the time. So, you know, it doesn't have to be ice cream every single time. But I think that you definitely want to, you know, reward your kids and your family for a successful hike or even a mostly successful hike. If there's only a little bit of complaining, you know, a little bit of whining, you know, that's still a win. You know, just take them out, be like, this was great. Here's your reward. You know, and the other most important thing too, though, is like, make sure you know where to get that reward from. Don't say, you know, we're going to go get some ice cream, and then you have no idea where that is. You have no cell signal. You know, everyone in the backseat wants ice cream. You have no idea where to go. Like, I would kind of map it out before you get in the car to go on the hike. Know where you're going to go after so that you can quickly give them that reward.
Erin, I always know where to get ice cream. So don't worry about me. You just describe, to some degree, I could describe my children's camping childhood quite simply. Morning hike, afternoon at the campground, ice cream at the camp store later, right?
Yes.
If everybody was good.
That's the perfect day.
Now, I like tip number 10. And this is, again, I had never framed it this way myself. What is tip number 10?
10 is about, you know, ice cream is a great reward, but then how can you plan for more rewards? How can you make the hike even more fun so they'll want to do it next time? So a lot of national parks and state parks have the Junior Ranger activity booklets. Well, for kids, like smaller kids, that's really fun to be able to complete a booklet and do engaging things on the trail. And then when you're done, to go to, you know, this adult ranger and get sworn in as a junior ranger person and to, you know, get a badge or a patch. Like, that's really cool. I mean, my kids have a whole bunch of patches and badges. I bet your kids do too. I mean, even now, even though my kids earned them, you know, 5-6 years ago, because, you know, they're older now, they kind of age out of the program. But when they were small and they've got these badges still on their bulletin boards, I think that's so fun. So fun for me just to look at and, you know, think about the different, you know, junior ranger activities that we did. You know, another one is, you know, geocaches. I don't know if your kids do geocaching, but we'll do that every once in a while. You know, geocaching meaning, you know, you've got the app and you're looking around for different treasures that are hidden around on trails. I mean, that's really cool. My kids love doing that and finding, you know, what the little prize is. And sometimes we'll, you know, we'll take little trinkets along to, you know, put in the geocache box so that the next person who comes along finds it. I mean, that's another way to kind of get them excited about being on the trail. And another one that's here in Virginia is called Trail Quest. I don't know if they have it at, you know, at state parks in New Jersey, but here in Virginia, for every park that you hike in, you can log it on the Trail Quest website. And then after every 5 hikes, you earn a special pin. Actually, after the first hike, you earn a pin. And then at every 5 park increment, you earn another pin, and then you can become a master hiker and get a certificate at a a state park when you've seen all the state parks in Virginia. There's 41 state parks in Virginia right now. So that's really cool. So kids really dig on those rewards too.
I like the idea too of setting some region specific goals or family specific goals. Like I'm looking at your book right now, Hiking with Kids Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Families. You know, if I lived in Virginia, I might say, all right, guys, let's do 20 of these. You know, let's say we're going to do 20 hikes out of this book. Or, you know, I know people do set those region specific goals. Like we're going to do this many of the peaks in the Adirondacks, or we're going to do one amazing hike in every national park we go to, or whatever it might be. All right, number 11. So comfort items. Tell me more.
So comfort items, exactly. And I'm not talking about, you know, teddy bears or blankets. Comfort items, like bring all the things to make sure they are comfortable on the trail. That means water to make sure they're hydrated. That means snacks to make sure they're not hungry and starting to get angry because they're hungry. And also bringing, you know, bug spray, sunblock, the travel first aid kit so that, you know, if there's a cut or a scratch, you've got the antibiotic ointment and you've got the Band-Aids right there. You know, anything you can bring to make sure that they are comfortable and not having an extra reason to get aggravated while on the trail. So, and I find, and you may find this too, that whenever I bring all these things, I don't ever need any of them. It's always, always when I don't bring the Band-Aids and the first aid kit that someone falls and cuts themselves within the first 50 feet on the trail.
You know, I always like to think too of like what is in the car when we get back to the car after the hike. And a cooler filled with cold drinks, you know, even though you brought your water or whatever, that type of comfort item, I think, is something to look forward to at the 100%. End as well.
I have to tell you, this is a kind of a related story, is that we did a hike. It was actually out in California a few years ago. And we brought water, but it just ended up being a very warm day. And it was kind of a loop hike. And we ended this hike. And there was a gentleman who, he must know there's a lot of people who come off this trail who are really hot and thirsty. He had a cooler full of like the, you know, like the old school, like grape soda and orange sodas that were ice cold. I mean, this guy was like a mirage. Like, do you know how excited we were to see this guy with the cold drink? So to your point, yes.
Trail angel. I mean, right.
I mean, he was selling them, but they were only like a dollar a can. I was like, I will buy this entire cooler.
So, I guess he could still be a trail angel, just one that's trying to, you know, make a little bit of a profit, as long as the prices were reasonable.
Yes. I mean, a dollar a can, I was thrilled. But yes, that's such a great point about having ice cold drinks in your car or quickly available after a hike.
All right. Tip number 12.
So 12 is just, yes, just do it again. If they have that positive memory in their head about going on this hike and, you know, collecting the geocaches and doing Junior Ranger and getting great snacks. I mean, that's a really good memory. You don't want that memory to fade, because you know how it is. Like with every passing day, memories, all kinds of memories, they just get more and more faint. And you get to a point where you just don't really remember it anymore. So do it again. You know, find another great hike and go repeat the same experience so that they will, at some point, hopefully, start asking you to go out on hikes. I mean, I feel like that's kind of every parent's dream, you know, is for your kids one day just to be like, hey, can we go on a hike today? I mean, if my kid came to me at 6 a.m. and said, can we go on a hike today? Do you know how quickly I would be out of bed? Yes.
I would leave day of. If tomorrow morning they all woke up and said, let's go for a hike, I'd be like, all right, I'll pack in the cooler. Let's leave in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, my kids have done great work hiking. And we've had whining and we've had every problem that every parent has had, blah, blah, blah. But in the grand scheme of things, our kids have hiked all over the country in national parks and they've done a terrific job. Mm-hmm. Would it be their first choice if I said, guys, do you want to go for a hike today? Do you want to go zip lining today? Or do you want to just swim in the pool? Honestly, it probably wouldn't be their first choice most days, but that's part of being a parent too, right? Is we don't want to give them their first choice.
Right.
Because the hiking's good for all of us. It's good for our health. It's good for our spirits. It's good for our souls. Well, thank you so much for those 12 tips. We're not done yet. We're going to come back in a second. I have a couple more questions for Aaron Gifford, who's the author of Hiking with Kids Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Families. But before we wrap up the show, we have a sponsored message from our friend at Go RVing. Go RVing's website, GoRVing.com, is packed with all of the information you need to get started and go RVing. Check out Go RVing's Get Started tab to find information from real RVers about buying an RV, renting an RV, finding a campground, and a comprehensive first-timer's toolkit. The Buying an RV section includes a complete guide to buying a new RV and tips for visiting national parks. The Renting an RV section explores your options for trying before buying. The Finding a Campground section lets you search campgrounds by state. The First Timer's Toolkit is a robust set of blog posts and how-to videos that will turn you into an expert RVer in no time at all. Go RVing's Get Started tab is packed with the content you need to become a more experienced RVer and have fun doing it. And this is just a small sample of the great content you will find there. To find out more, head on over to GoRVing.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Erin, it's been wonderful talking to you about hiking, and it's just that time of year where I'm getting excited for summer hiking and national park trips. Now, to wrap it up, I want to just talk specifically about your book, Hiking with Kids Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Families by Falcon Guides. And this is a surprise question that I didn't tell you in advance. So your book has, I believe it has six regions in Virginia, Central Virginia, Coastal Virginia, Northern Virginia, Shenandoah Valley, Southwest Virginia, and Virginia Mountains. Would you be willing to give us your personal favorite from each of those six sections of Virginia in your table of contents?
Oh, my personal favorite hike?
Yes.
That's a tough one. So yeah, so six regions, you're exactly right. So Central Virginia is kind of the area surrounding Richmond and Charlottesville. And one of my favorite hikes there is, it's called Humpback Rocks. It's a great hike. It's only 2 miles out and back, or you can make it longer to be about 4 miles. And I'll be honest, you know, there's some challenges, there's some elevation, but when you get to the top and you see these 360-degree views across the Shenandoah Valley, you can even see up to Shenandoah National Park. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, I think that, you know, everyone in your party will just be like, oh my gosh, that was so hard at some points to get up this summit, but it was so worth it. It's so beautiful. So it's a really good hike. I love it for kids and families.
All right, give us Coastal Virginia.
Okay, Coastal Virginia. So, you know, there's not a lot of hikes on Coastal Virginia, which is why I only list four in the book. But Coastal Virginia is kind of Tidewater region, so Virginia Beach area. And, you know, kind of in looking at these hikes, my favorite hike of the list is the Bald Cypress Trail, because bald cypress trees are so cool. I honestly had never seen them before. They're basically these trees that look like they're kind of sprouting out of this freshwater swamp, and you just look at them and your kids will just be like, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like this before. And it's just really, really neat. It kind of goes back to the tip about choosing an engaging trail. I mean, just to be able to see these trees that you've never seen before ever is really fascinating. I loved it.
All right, I'm putting a star next to that one. How about Northern Virginia?
So Northern Virginia, that's actually where I live. And kind of looking at the hikes here, one of my favorites is it's a 4 mile hike about 2 miles out, 2 miles back. It starts at Riverbend Park. It's in the Great Falls area, and it goes to Great Falls Park Overlook. So you start at a regional park, and you're basically walking along the Potomac Heritage Trail. The Potomac River is on your left going out, and you get to a dam, and it's got a beautiful dam-fed waterfall. And then you keep going, and you're going to get to these three amazing overlooks of Great Falls. And it's just incredible. And the water, especially in spring, is really just rushing. And if you go on a weekend, a lot of times you'll see kayakers, you know, paddling like mad in these rushing falls. Like, it's a really cool hike. So you just kind of walk out there. And Great Falls Park is actually a national park, so you can do a junior ranger program there. So you can pick up an activity booklet. And another thing I actually love about Great Falls Park is if you go in their visitor center, they have the patch or the badge from every single unit across the country. So it's really cool just to go in there and look at all the different patches and badges. So we like doing that just to see, you know, which ones we have, which ones we still want. So that's really, really a nice hike. I really enjoyed that one.
All right. Take us to my favorite part of the beautiful state of Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley, which is I know this is hard, but pick one that's one of your favorites.
I know there's so many. This one is really hard. I think probably my favorite is the Bear Fence Mountain Scramble. It's the first hike on the list. It's a really short hike. To be honest, it's less than, I think the whole hike is actually less than a mile.
But it's fairly rigorous. We did that one.
Yes. You get that. I will be honest with you. I was at a point where I was getting toward the rock scramble at the top, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, because there are a couple of places where you might feel a little bit uncertain. But, you know, my kids have done it too. And you can get up there. And really, when you get up there, I mean, this is another place with 360 degree views. I mean, I went there, I think in May or June, where everything was just this brilliant green color all across the mountains. And it was a beautiful blue sky. I mean, it's a really great hike. And again, it's short, and kids will like the rock scramble. It is kind of a challenge. You're going to need to use, you know, elbows, knees, arms, everything to get to the top. But it's short and sweet. And kind of the other good thing about this hike is that if you get to that rock scramble point and it's not quite your jam, you can actually kind of hike back down to this intersection and go on the alternate path. And you'll head up on an easier route, but you'll get to a viewpoint with 270 degree views. So you still can get an amazing view and just kind of bypass the rock scramble if you want to.
All right. Southwest Virginia.
So Southwest Virginia, this is such a beautiful part of our state, and it is such a part of the state that so few people get down to, because it's actually quite far. I think, you know, kind of looking at this list of hikes, a really cool hike is actually, it's called Devil's Bathtub. I think just because of the name of the hike, it's pretty cool. But you get there, it's about a 4 mile out and back hike. And when you arrive at kind of the end point before you turn around, there's this amazing and really cold swimming hole, and there's two rope swings, and the water is just this beautiful aquamarine color. I still don't know how it's that color, but it's just, you look at it and you're like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And then if you keep walking past this swimming hole, like there's a little waterfall there, and you walk past the swimming hole, you'll actually see the Devil's Bathtub. So you want to make sure that you don't just stop at the swimming hole. You walk past and you'll see a basin that you can also splash and swim in. Maybe not swim, it's not that big, but it does look like the shape of a bathtub. So I assume that's kind of why it's called Devil's Bathtub, because of that, you know, basin shaped hole in the back that's filled with water. It's a really cool place.
All right, Virginia Mountains.
So on this hike, let me look at it real fast. I would say I really like the Star Trail. The Star Trail is actually, I'm guessing it's about a 4 mile hike, 2 miles there, 2 miles back. And it's a nicely forested hike, but the cool thing is you get to the top and you end up at the Roanoke Star, which is this 100-foot tall man-made star. It's the tallest man-made star, I think, in the world. And it's kind of like the welcoming point for all of the Blue Ridge Mountain area. And you get there and there's a really nice overlook where you get all these views of all of downtown Roanoke. It's just a really cool place. And actually, I will tell you, the last time I was there, a couple got engaged up there. So I think it's a really popular area in town for kind of enjoying the views. And also at night, it's kind of a cool night hike to do because the star lights up in white. And actually a few times a year, like July 4th and Flag Day and a few other patriotic holidays, the star lights up in red, white, and blue. So that's really cool too.
All right. Thank you so much to Erin Gifford, the author of the brand new Hiking with Kids Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Families. It's published by Falcon Guides. It's available today wherever you get your books. Erin, are we working on another book? And if so, will you come back on the podcast when you launch it?
Yes and yes, of course. So I do actually, it's funny, after I finished this book, right away, the editor was like, what else can you write? So I kind of did a little bit of research and pitched the idea of writing about coastal trails. So my next book is coming out in August, also with Falcon Guides, and it's going to be on coastal trails of Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia.
So, well, you've got to come back on. I didn't realize it, it was that soon, the publication date.
It's crazy. So I do have that. So that's actually available for pre-order now. That one's all finished, ready to go. I don't have it, you know, physical copy yet, but it's getting close. And then I'm actually working on a third book now, which is going to be on Virginia Summit Hike. So it's just called Virginia Summits. And that will come out in 2023. And I'm working on that now, hiking the various mountains in Virginia. So that's been a lot of fun.
What great research for a buck.
I know. I think so, too.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I really mean it. Anytime a new book comes out, let us know and we'll get you back on the podcast.
You're the best. Thank you.
Thank you. A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thank you to our sponsors, to Neighbor, the Thetford Corporation, Campspot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, RV Snaphead, and Go RVing. To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, head on over to thervatlas.com. And to join the friendliest group of RVers, head on over to the RV Atlas group on Facebook. If you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes. And we'll see you at the campground.